All right, welcome back to Sports Central. I'm asking a very simple question today. It is a loaded question in many, many, many ways. You can pick your criteria or whatever. Is Sean Clifford good enough? That's it. That's the question. Is Sean Clifford good enough? Well, good enough for what? Well, that's up to you. Whatever you want Penn State football to be, is Sean Clifford good enough for them to get there? Donnie Collins, longtime Penn State beat writer for the Scranton Times-Tribune, joins us, and I'll just lob up the softball. You answer it any way you want. You choose whatever criteria you want. My answer is no, period. I just say no, but I'll ask you, is Sean Clifford good enough, Donnie?
He better be, because, I mean, so I'm going to, I think when you ask that question and you just leave it open-ended like that, you basically say, is he good enough to do what? And I would say, is he good enough to win the Big Ten? Is he good enough to get you where you want to go, which is the playoff? And I've been, you know, like I hate trying to evaluate what a player can be. Nobody saw Matt McGloin play more than me at Penn State, and I would have said he wasn't good enough to set records, and he was. So I've learned my lesson on guys that even guys I know well, but I'll say this: if Sean Clifford's not good enough this year, if they have to bench him again, they're in big trouble. They could have a losing season. They really could have another losing season if he's not really good. And, if your question is, are they going to win the Big Ten because of Sean Clifford? My answer would be no, because he's never proven he can do that. He's never been a consistent player. He's never been an accurate thrower. He's never been a guy who, you know, who's really popped to me. You've seen, you watch Trace McSorley playing early on in his career, and you're like, I see what they saw. You said that with McSorley in that Tax Slayer Bowl or whatever it was in Jacksonville, where, you know, the second half he came back and it's like, I see what they see in him. I've never seen that with Clifford, and that's just me. But, you know, they have the right quarterback coach there now. They have the right offense. Maybe he does something. But, you know, if you look at Penn State's offense this year, running back, they can compete with anybody. Receivers, they're pretty good. Tight ends, even without Freiermuth, I think they're still pretty good. Offensive line has a chance to be pretty good. You know, he better, and there's nobody behind Clifford. Your Christian Vieux is not coming off the bench to lead you to the promised land. Neither is Taquan Roberson. I think Clifford's got to be the guy. I just don't know if he can be the guy.
Yeah, and look, new offense coordinator, new system. We'll touch on more of that here in a few minutes. Looking back, the answer is absolutely no. Looking forward, sure. I can say that maybe he can be under some different scenarios. You look at all the numbers. I crunched them over the last couple of years. All the national ranking statistics, all these things, Donnie, they basically show Sean Clifford is the 30th to 40th best quarterback in the country. You get all these numbers, you compile them. He's 36 in this, 41 in this, 27 in this, 29 in this, 32 in this, 35 in this, 42 in. I mean, it's, you know, he is what he is in the 30 to 40 range. But Pro Football Focus, man, dropped a freaking anvil on Sean Clifford. And we,
where do they have him?
88.
He's not 88.
Donnie. This came out, let's say the 14th. I think it came out the 11th, so 3 days ago. They had him at 88, man. And look, I don't religiously follow Pro Football Focus. I think that their entire system is based on individuals watching film and then doing a mass amount of collectively subjective grading, and every individual might have look, Pro Football Focus, I'm not saying it's the end-all be-all, but it is the industry standard. You know Sean Clifford about as well as I do, which isn't great, but we know what Sean Clifford, I bet you he's pissed. I bet you he sees 88, and I think Sean Clifford's pretty cocky. I think he's in that Matt McGloin cocky kind of range. What do you think goes through Sean Clifford's mind when he sees Pro Football Focus putting him at number 88?
Well, I'll tell you what McGloin would have done if he had seen himself at number 88. He'd have called. He'd have flipped. It'd be all you heard about for a week. He'd have flipped out. He'd have lost his mind, and he'd have gotten better. And he'd have made sure he wasn't number 88.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's funny because I mean, Pro Football Focus, I mean, whatever. I think people do go to that, and I think they they kind of look at, especially the recruiting guys. I mean, I think they love that stuff. You know, it's a number you can quantify and say, hey, here's why we, you know, this guy was a five-star prospect and he's playing at this level, yada yada yada. But you know, I think it takes some intestinal fortitude to put out those rankings. You don't know what these guys are supposed to do. You're kind of assuming what they were supposed to do on every play, and assuming you're watching every play.
Let me stop you there. Christian Hackenberg got destroyed for being so inaccurate downfield, and yet they would say, well, the receiver ran the wrong route, or the receiver couldn't get a separation. And so the quarterback is always going to get hammered for an incompletion, even if somebody else conceivably does the wrong thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like how do you know what the right thing to do there was? Now, but that said, I think there's some things you can look at with a player and with the naked eye and say, you know, hey, he does this well, he does that well. And I can tell you right now, Sean Clifford's not the 88th best quarterback in the country this year. I think he's way better than that. And you know, but I think you're right. And I have a really good comp for this from a baseball perspective. He's what they call the replacement level quarterback. You know, he's the baseline. This, you want your guy to be at least this good. You want him to be better, but based on his performance, you want him to be, he's league average to me. He's the Domingo Germán quarterback.
He's got a 0.1 WAR rating.
It's exactly what he is. And other guys, hey, look, other guys around him have, Miles Sanders had a much better WAR. So the guys like that, Freiermuth, it's Godwin, guys like that, they elevate a quarterback when they're as good as they are. But I think that's a really good way to look at Clifford right now. He's a 0.1 WAR quarterback. And last year he was a negative 0.1. And this year he's got to be 2.5.
Yeah.
But, that said, could he get there? Hey, there's a lot of league average guys who win games. And I mentioned listeners out there won't know who this is, but Domingo Germán's a pitcher for the Yankees. And if you look at his numbers, he is league average every category. He is an average major league pitcher everywhere except for record. Win losses, he usually tends to win because he does enough to win on a good team. Now, maybe they can do that this year with Clifford, but my gut feeling here is he's got to win them some games. He's got to be the difference against Ohio State, Iowa, Wisconsin, teams like that. He's been the difference the wrong way in years past.
Donnie Collins from the Scranton Times-Tribune. So now let's look at it from a different set of circumstances with a new offensive coordinator that we think is going to put him in a lot of different situations. A system was installed last year under Kirk Ciarca using Zoom. I don't think that we fully knew what Kirk Ciarca could do. This is my theory on last year, Donnie, is they put all this stuff in, and then Kirk Ciarca goes to Indiana and sees Sean Clifford turning the ball over and sees that continue. And I think Kirk Ciarca said, whoa, we better dial this back in. We better – whatever we thought the quarterback might be able to – this is where I think Kirk Ciarca got a raw deal because he had a solid system on Zoom. Then his quarterback was lousy at the beginning of the year. Why would Kirk Ciarca have trusted Sean Clifford to do anything? We can blast Kirk Ciarca for throwing fades on from the four-yard line, but did he have reason to trust Sean Clifford as opposed to now – Mike Yurcich has been able to go through spring ball, live reps, live summer, live everything. What do you think the difference there will be?
Well, I think you kind of touched on it, but we could do seven segments in a row here on what I think about what happened with Kirk Ciarca. I think it was a rough deal for him. There was just no way that was going to be successful. And honestly, for them to finish 4-5 last year, I think for him, they were much closer to me than to 0-9 than 4-5. The way that offense played most of the year, if it wasn't for Kevon Lee, they would be in big trouble. And credit to Ciarca for figuring that out and really dialing in over the last four games and letting Clifford be the game manager and Levis to a certain degree too. But I think I'm sorry, I forgot your question. Yeah, you got me all fired up.
Yeah, the different, now that Yurcich
was
able to go through
stuff
live.
Yeah, I think when you could practice in a normal fashion and not have to do it over Zoom and not have to install a new offense remotely, everybody worked remotely last year. It wasn't the best way to do it. I mean, my kids went to school. I don't think on computers. I don't think they got as good an education as they would have, if they were in person in their classrooms. And that's just my opinion, but it's my opinion. And I think we saw it with Penn State last year, that they just didn't make any real strides. No, I mean, very few players got better last year. They were really, the guys who, Dotson maybe, but the guys who really excelled were and made the offense go were the freshmen he had never seen before. So I think to a degree, Clifford's got that advantage this year that, hey, he should make a lot more strides heading into 2021 than he could possibly have made in 2020, in a situation where nobody could really have been expected to make the strides he needed to make. But, conceivably, I guess on paper, you're looking at it as, hey, Kirk Cherok is not as good an offensive coordinator as Mike Yurcich is. So what could Mike Yurcich do for Clifford that Kirk Cherokee couldn't? And I'll tell you what he better do. He better make him more accurate. He better help him to make better decisions. If he's inaccurate and he's making poor decisions this year, then what does that say about Yurcich? Because, this is a much better situation for him than it ever was for Kirk. But Kirk really had the presence of mind when, that Indiana game, especially those first four games, he turned it over, what was it, 8 times in 12 quarters? It's just an unacceptable amount. So, he really needs to show that this year that he can learn in the system and take advantage of some of the chances they're giving him. Because, look, there's no excuses at this point for Clifford. He's got the best coordinator. He's got some of the best skill position talent this program's ever had. He's got a capable offensive line. There's just no real reason for this not to work this year.
Donnie Collins from the Scranton Times Tribune. How much do you think, one, the fast-paced tempo, because we've never seen that under James Franklin. They ran no huddle, but they didn't run tempo. We're going to see tempo. And two, you mentioned making decisions. How often is Sean Clifford going to have to make decisions? Because I can foresee a Baylor or, obviously Oklahoma State, I can foresee an offense where he just takes a snap and fires it to a spot and that there's no second or third read. Obviously, if that breaks down, it's not as simple as that. But how much do you think that they're just going to come out and go fast and get the ball out of his hands real fast? Similar to, interestingly enough, since we're talking about Cherokee, similar to what Minnesota did against Penn State a couple of years ago, when they beat them, and that's what we thought we were going to get from the Penn State offense with Cherokee.
Yeah, I think that's what you're going to see. I mean, what Cherokee had at Minnesota was a really good was somebody who had been in that offense before and wasn't going to make a million mistakes, and then he ran into a quarterback and made a million mistakes. But yeah, I think what you're going to see with Clifford this year, what they're going to try to do, hey, plays over, get to the line. Read this guy, read that guy, read this guy at the three levels, and that's the play. If the linebacker is lined up here, you throw to him. If he's lined up, about 3 feet to his left, you throw it to the middle. I mean, I really think that's what's coming here, and I do think that will make Clifford. I don't know if that's the best offense for him. I really don't. That's part of my thing with Clifford is I don't know what kind of offense he needs to be in, but I think this will give him a chance to get a lot better. I think the trademarks of the Yurcich offenses that I've seen over the years and gone back and watched on film, especially with, watching Mason Rudolph, it's a quarterback who can make the reads, who can get the ball accurately down the field, who can be accurate inside the hash marks on the short passing game. And I think Clifford could do that. I think he's been okay there. But eventually you got to get the ball down the field because that's really what stands out to me about a Yurcich offense. They get the ball down the field and make you cover every yard that you have behind you. It's a very difficult offense to defend. but it really works when you have a quarterback who could get the ball there. And I'm not sure Clifford's that guy. And I think at the end of the day, if you're telling me Pro Football Focus ranked him at number 88 overall, that's why. They're going to give you a whole list of reasons why he's inaccurate down the field, and he's just not going to make you defend the whole field on him. And I tend to agree with that. But I think there's some potential there to get a little better, especially with the receivers he has.
Yeah, he's got Jahan Dawson. He's got Parker Washington. He's got a slew of running backs. There's a video circulating today of Noah Kane working out, and he looks back. You mentioned Kevon Lee earlier. The running back situation is going to be good. He's going to have weapons. And look, I will say this. The thing I was most impressed about Sean Clifford last year was his running ability. I always wondered what he would do, but he could take off and run. By no means was he a stationary quarterback. He got a lot of – but here's the thing. I don't want him doing that, man. You don't have Will Levis anymore, and if Sean Clifford goes down, now you go to Taquan Roberson. How much do you think we're going to see Clifford being able to improvise and even take some safe runs, or are they going to say, no, we're going to need you to Tom Brady this thing and get rid of the ball?
He needs to be Tom Brady on a day of rest. He just needs to stay in the pocket. They can't take a chance of injuring him because their future quarterback probably isn't on campus. So I hesitate to think what they're going to do if he gets hurt. And that's the really intriguing thing about Clifford to me this year. You could sit there and knock his game and look at his stats and say, hey, this guy's not up to par in this area or that area. And he's, you mentioned his running ability. He's almost the opposite kind of quarterback that I thought he would be.
Yeah,
I thought he'd be a guy who would sling it around and be stationary. That's just what I saw on his film in high school. I mean, quarterbacks run a little bit in high school, but because they can, they're usually better athletes. But I just didn't think he'd be that at this level, and that's. That's almost his best. You mentioned that's almost his best trait is his ability to run. But for all of his warts, you can't play without him. He has to be out there. There's just no other option. And they've never gotten Roberson into a meaningful game to do anything. And Veiu hasn't played in 2 years. It's really fascinating to see what they've got themselves into in this situation and not being able to hit the. Not being able to get a guy out of the transfer portal is kind of stunning, because they needed somebody. But that said, I don't know if that says something about Clifford, or if that says something about the quality of the quarterbacks in the transfer portal. But Clifford has to stay healthy. I get it. He's a good runner. They can get yards that way. But you better need the yards he gets. That can't be a big part of your offense.
Especially
guys.
You've got
five running backs. Just use them.
Absolutely. You've got Wisconsin first on the road, Auburn third, Indiana, Iowa. That's your first five games.
Mm-hmm. Ball State could beat you.
Yeah, and the Ball State's going to hit you, too. They're, mm-hmm. You want to lose your season, try running Sean Clifford early on against that schedule.
Yeah, he won't make – and I really think if you look back to 19, when they go into – Minnesota undefeated. Really think he was just a beat up quarterback.
Yep.
And I asked him at one point that year in a conference call, and I expected, hey, we're going to get this very vanilla answer. And I said to him, you're running more than you ever have. Are you worried this is going to take a toll? And he didn't say no. He kind of said, yeah, I just got to take care of myself the best I can, yada, yada, yada. But yeah, I'm running a lot more than I'm used to. So that told me right there, he was banged up. And I think we saw that down the stretch there. I didn't think he was great in the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
I thought he was a caretaker in the Cotton Bowl. And the games where he's played, where they've won since that Minnesota game, he has just taken care of the ball. That's really all he's done.
Yep.
And I wonder if there's some kind of, injury question or mental part that he's got to get over to get through that. But I really think, you just can't run them.
Real quick.
You're better off.
This is the closing question, because Sean Clifford has 2 years of eligibility left. True or false, Sean Clifford is Penn State's starting quarterback in 2022?
I'm going to say false. Because number, if he plays well, I think he'll go to the NFL. I think he'll try it. And you know, this is his year to play well. He's got a prime time offensive coordinator. If he plays well, he's going to put up big numbers. I think he'll go to the NFL. And if he doesn't, he'll most certainly be a graduated player. And I think they'll part ways with him. I don't see him being any more than a 1 year guy. But yeah, they are going to have to use a quarterback in 2022 if that's the case, who's never played before.
Yeah, good.
Because
stuff.
that's really what the position they put themselves.
But boy, they would have a lot of suitors in the transfer portal at that point, because at this point their transfer portal possibilities have been limited to a degree, because anybody would come saying, you've got a 2 year starter, I'm not going to start. If that job were to be open this winter after this season, you would have to think Penn State would be maybe not one or two, but certainly probably in the top five available quarterback, especially if Mike Yurcich is still there for a legit starter to come in. And I'm talking about a 4 or 5 star guy coming out of high school. Maybe it just didn't, a Justin Fields kind of guy, where it just didn't work out for him at his first stop.
Yeah, it might be the number one stop, because they're a quarterback away. If they get a quarterback, if they had a Justin Fields type quarterback this year, I think they might be. I mean, they might be a favorite to make the tournament.
Yep.
I think they're that close.
Good stuff, Donnie. Always appreciate the analysis, man.
All right, man. Thanks so much.
Great discussion. That's excellent stuff there, Donnie Collins from the Scranton Times-Tribune.